Welcome to Pacific Novel Project week, or I should say month three. No, it's April. We're going to month four. So, man, time flies when you're busy.
Yeah, it does.
What I love about this podcast is no frills. I don't go and hunt any music down or anything. We just hop in and start doing straight hot editing takes.
Really hot editing takes.
Super hot. Oof. Well, let's hope that sounded sexier.
It's good enough.
Anyway, I've had a little bit of cold last week, so hopefully my voice isn't too messed up. And I think, Steve, that we're going to go over mine first, just because I feel like listening to somebody talk about me.
Okay, we can do that. All right, so last time on The Ghost of Silver Creek, we left Joshua and Chalk just having found the burnt symbol on the forest floor. And they found an ear that I believe had ants crawling all over it. And bloody clumps of pine needles. And just all sorts of really macabre, you know, kind of setting.
Yeah, I've never found an ear in the woods, but I thought maybe if I did. I mean, I've seen dead animals.
Seen dead animals, too. And they had ears. So, I mean, technically, I guess we have found ears in the woods.
There's usually bugs and stuff on them, so I figured I'll go with that.
Yeah, works for me, man. You know, where there's dried blood, there's probably going to be ants.
Maybe I should went with flies.
Ooh, yeah, flies.
Should I go flies? Or is that more of a, like, I got my guts hanging out thing?
There could be flies. There could be flies. No maggots yet, but there definitely could be flies.
Okay. Well, it's only been a day.
Exactly. So, flies, yeah. Probably. Maggots, no. Ants, definitely.
And after this, I'm going to have to Google how long it takes maggots to show up.
Right? I'm going, I don't know, I'm guessing...
Flies have a short lifespan. It might actually be quick.
True. I'm going to maggot stage. I'm going 3 days? 4 days?
Yeah, I didn't watch those episodes of CSI.
Neither did I. I don't know. Man. But, yeah.
Man, there was this Western on USA that I really liked, had Tom Berenger in it. Only lasted like 5 episodes, I think. It was kind of like a CSI of the old West. He was like this old sheriff, you know, kind of veteran sheriff out on the frontier. And some young doctor was out there, and it was like right on the cusp of like all these inventions in, you know, forensics.
Yeah.
And so he was the young guy was kind of like a pioneer in forensics. And, you know, Tom Berenger was old school, but he, you know, kind of reluctantly brought this guy in because, you know, he had cases that he was like desperate to solve and had this guy help him like solve cases. It was a really enjoyable show.
It sounds interesting. It kind of makes me think of like an old West Sherlock Holmes with like, you know, bringing in like kind of more of a forensic, you know, investigation, you know, some of the embodiments of Sherlock Holmes anyway that we've seen throughout the ages.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, I might have to Google that later, and I probably will. But yeah, I mean, Joshua, he pulls out a kerchief, pulls off his kerchief around his neck that he usually would say, like, you know, use to hide his face if he was going to rob a train or... if he was riding the prairie and there's a dust storm or, you know, all sorts of things like that.
Keep sweat running down your neck.
That too. It's a filter for all sorts of things. So he picks up the ear and puts it in the saddlebag, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I liked some of the images conjured with the blackened blood clinging to the blades of grass and bent under its weight. I liked the image of the field outside of the forest or wooded area that they end up walking out to after he pockets the ear. I also liked the detail of the gold-tinted leaves on the trees as he's kind of taking in the surroundings. Because it kind of had a seasonal detail about it. I mean, I gleaned, you know, be like fall.
Yes. Was it a question?
You know, confirmation never hurts.
Okay, this is, yeah, this takes place like the end of summer, early fall.
Okay, okay. Is Elves going to be getting ready for Halloween?
No.
Oh, okay.
Although that, when I wrote Gold Tinted, I was thinking about how when the sun's out, leaves kind of have this like yellowish tint to them.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of took it more of a seasonal, you know, kind of death is coming to the land, but old age first. I made a couple small edits of just kind of cleaning up some repetition for woods, kind of letting the existing setting kind of work with the trees of the forest.
Okay.
Let's see here. There was a word choice. I don't know. It took me out. Let's see. It's on page 38, about a quarter of the way down. The mount looked up at Joshua, who gazed up at Chalk with pressed lips and bulged eyes. I don't know. The bulge made me think of Arnold on Mars when he's suffocating. I thought maybe wide eyes might work a little better.
Okay.
I have to say, man, when they're out there, Chalk and him are talking, and he gets an impression of laughter filtering into the background of his mind. And I thought that was kind of creepy, especially if it's like children's laughter.
Yeah.
And he's like, we need to reboot you, Chalk. And Chalk's like, screw you. I can check my own systems.
Yeah.
I liked that. That was cool. And also, you know, little detail on Chalk that, you know, him and Data can both run level 3 diagnostic checks on their own system. And I'm always a fan of Chalk details because, yeah, I like Chalk. Let's see, a little further down on the same page, bottom, there was a word combination that I wasn't feeling. I think it was just a typo, but it was, let's see, then the ear in a saddlebag came to mind and the hairs on his neck stood on end. He had seen worse things than a severed ear, but the idea, the endeavor was so common. The idea and the endeavor going, I don't know. I was kind of thinking go with one. I don't know. Both kind of felt wordy.
Okay.
But I like that Joshua and Chalk venture out and, you know, Joshua's like prepared to find a dead body, but instead they find the knife. And just, you know, the fact that Joshua kind of puts two and two together with the shape of the knife and also just thinking about, you know, just the horrors that sentient beings can do to one another. Yeah, it just had a macabre feeling to it. But the idea was so common and purposeful, it required a special blade. Made him wonder at the lack of connection to anything humane. And then I struck that last part that would inspire such an act, because I thought ending on humane on that sentence kind of did that work, since we're getting that Joshua's putting two and two together.
Okay.
Page 39. Let's see here. So he's gonna put the knife away, and then he stops. This is where I kind of ran into a possible continuity issue. So I believe when they find the burnt area in the forest, he takes the pen and pencil out of the saddlebag, and then he returns it so it would go back into the saddlebag.
Yeah.
So he takes the pen and pencil out of the saddlebag again, but then puts it back into his pocket. Yeah, just the back into his pocket. I was like,
where is that?
Page 39. He let the flap of the bag drop, and he too took out his pencil and the folded paper with the circle design sketched on it. He sat back on the ground the night before him and began to sketch it on the reverse side of the paper. I drew one side, then drew the other. When he was finished, he folded the paper back into his pocket and put the knife back where he found it. So it was just, yeah, it was, because I believe he didn't get it from his pocket, so it didn't go back into his pocket.
You want me to just say put it into his pocket?
Yeah.
Fold the paper into his pocket?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as far as continuity goes, I think it would work better.
Okay. Yeah, that two took. I think that's supposed to just be took. I think it's a typo.
That's what I thought. And I was like, you could offset two with the commas, and it would probably work. But yeah, I had a feeling it was a typo. So I still got this clicking issue that I can't figure out, where if I click on anything else but Discord, when I press push to talk, it just goes, "I don't think so, Dave." But it doesn't say "I don't think so, Dave," so I don't always realize that it's...
Well, that's probably good.
Yeah, it probably is good. I mean, if my computer starts singing Daisy Bell, we're in trouble.
I hate that fucking movie.
Fair enough.
That movie so fucking overrated. The praise that movie gets. I've also come to the determination Stanley Kubrick's overrated. But that movie sucks.
Yeah, it's not a favorite, but it definitely has its pop culture references that, you know, good or bad, they're here to stay. Let's see, had another mention of just changing woods out for maybe forest, just because of the repetition.
Forest feels big to me. Forest feels like I'm in the middle of the Umpqua and I can walk 50 miles in every direction without seeing a human being and maybe being eaten by a bear.
True, true.
Woods to me is like smaller. That's like walking through Tualatin Nature Park.
Right. Okay. I mean, I see where you're going there. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe next time, on the next go around, maybe the repetition's not as bad as what I was thinking, but yeah, no worries. I leave it in your capable hands, sir.
That's what all the ladies say to me.
Right. let's see here. All right. So we are at the point where Joshua is skirting the border between the meadow and the soft pines of the woods. He kind of checks out some things, squats a couple times. I'm not sure if he knows what he's looking for or whatnot, but I kind of get a thought that, he had an idea of what he was looking for. Because the way it's worded is he squatted several times to examine something that caught his attention until he found what he looked for, which I made a word suggestion of searched, stronger verb.
Okay.
And then trapped between the needles of a low branch, a strand of silver hair hung like Christmas tinsel. And again, I liked that image of just that single strand hanging there like tinsel. Where, like, you know, it's like it's so small you could miss it, but it kind of stands out at the same time, though. So it's, yeah, I liked that image. But anyway, ends up being a hair from
Keela.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the
Palomino.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. it was a hair from the Palomino or Keela. So I thought this was interesting that he finds this hair, but there's no tracks. I mean, he can find no tracks whatsoever. And I get the impression that Joshua is a pretty, you know, pretty accomplished tracker. I mean, I don't know. Is he the best? Maybe, maybe not. But I get the idea that, you know, this isn't the first thing he's tracked.
No.
So, I mean, just from the idea of, like, you know, He finds another game trail, and he finds a cloven prints of deer and prints of small carnivores, but no horse hoof prints.
Yeah, kind of like the horse has the ability to move without leaving a trace, like a Dungeons and Dragons druid.
A ninja horse.
because horses are extension of the elves, and so they're at home in the natural world and move without trace.
I like that, and I like that. I kind of like the mystery of it as it is in the story, because it's like, well, dude, there's a horsehair here, but where the hell are the tracks? So I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, the idea of there being a ghost kind of was becoming amusing to Joshua, especially with this development. So I get the impression that there's kind of some disjointed narrative going on, in that we're getting scenes from Joshua's perspective, like after they've already happened with Johnston and Els and Avis. So I get the idea that there's this kind of like playing with time a little bit as far as, you know, as we go from character to character.
No, I hope not.
Where it's like,
I hope they're on the same. I hope they're on the same timeline. I mean, there are two different perspectives, but
yes, same timeline. But like as we perceive it, as I perceive it from reading the book, it's like it's later in the book, but it's still the same time as it happened earlier. We're just getting Joshua's perspective from up on the ridge or ledge as he's looking down on them. So, yeah, I thought that was. I think it's interesting what's being done with that because it's not the first time we've seen it so far, and I like that we're getting more than one perspective on some of these scenes. So page 41, I got tripped up by the start of I guess the second paragraph. There was no sign of the Palomino. Joshua, and I made a small edit, took out would have. Joshua wondered if the horse was a ghost after all. If the girl had not been interrupting her work to search the horizon, as Joshua had observed earlier. It's like the second time I read through, I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
I lost something in the editing.
Okay.
Looks like half a sentence.
I gotcha. I mean, I put the period in at the end of all because I wanted to break that and then comment on it.
Okay.
So yeah, it was just yeah. Even the second time, I was still kind of like, eh. But then I also have to wonder: is like, does Joshua? You know, how would Joshua know that that's what the girl's looking for? Is the Palomino?
Oh, because she was doing that earlier.
That's right. Oh yeah, that's right. When they were riding around. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good point. I concede, sir.
Do not challenge me.
Do not. None shall pass.
I say, sir, you put on a good show. Perhaps we shall tie to the studio for some lemonade and whiskey.
Say, would you like to come inside, Colonel Angus?
Angus.
Colonel Angus. A little SNL, you know, humor.
Yeah. I haven't watched that in like 20 years.
Ah, fair enough. It was a good skit though. You should look it up. let's see. And I liked the outro in this section, which was at some point Chalk had mastered the wordless sigh, and it was to that satisfying sound Joshua fell asleep. Now, in the last draft, that wordless sigh comes in a different moment.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I think I like this one better. I mean, I like the last one, but I think I like this one better and just how it lands.
Yeah, because Joshua was annoyed with him for messing with him in the meadow earlier.
Right? Good point. Let's see here.
Also, I thought it'd be a good setup for later in the book when they're sneaking up on that valley and Joshua and Pitt just start napping it out in the middle of all the danger.
Oh, dude. Yes. That was actually, yeah. That was a fun part. Okay. So we skip section 9. Have you decided what you're going to do with section 9 yet? Or like, where you're going to place it?
No, section 9 is where it's at. We've already gone over that part. I mean, I got to rewrite it because it's first person right now, but.
True. Yeah. I was wondering if there was a placement, uncertainty about it or anything.
Yeah.
So, but I guess not. So that works.
Yeah. So we did section 9 and 10 a couple sessions ago, but then I realized I had a time issue, so I went in and added some stuff before those sections, and now we're skipping to section 11 where I put some stuff in after those sections.
yes, because section 9 was Avis's like fever dream flashback kind of thing.
of Section 10, she wakes up in the farmhouse and introducing Johnston and his daughter Elsa, who have helped her.
Yeah, I liked that section too. So you'll hammer it out to its penultimate draft, you know, at some point. Okay, so page 51. I really didn't have much of anything to say on page 50. Just some small edit things here and there that,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not going to go into because they were tiny, tiny edits.
In this section, this is the section where, because in the previous sections, Avis comes out of the house, and then in this section, this is where Chalk wakes up Joshua when she comes out of the house and he's watching them like a perv.
Right?
Just creeping on him.
Shame on Joshua. Shame. We should shave his head and put him in a dungeon.
Shame, shame. Gave up true love.
For what? Boo! Boo!
Oh, that was right, boo.
Yeah. Boo! Bow to the queen of garbage, the queen of filth.
Queen of refuse. Love that word. I love that word. Refuse.
Queen of refuse. Yeah. Dude, totally. Totally. It's good stuff.
My wife hates that movie.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. She said her brother watched it like 20 times a day for a year, and it just ruined it for her.
Well, familiarity does breed contempt sometimes, so yeah. I get it.
Or maybe it wasn't 20. There's not enough hours in the day for that, but it was a lot.
That's fair. Yeah. I could see how things could go sideways. So we got the sun's getting lower. Chalk wakes Joshua up, and Joshua's just kind of chilling there because, you know, he can just have Chalk tell him what he's seeing. And we get Elle's playing tag with the Palomino. And then we get a girl that's about the same size as Elle's that comes out on the porch. I liked the addition of blue in her hair. It's a little splash of color, you know. But anyway, I like the addition. I was gonna comment on something else, but I don't think I marked it. Ah, yeah. You didn't wake me up when the horse showed up, Joshua says. You said important. It's a horse. It runs around in circles like you just saw. Fucking Chalk. And then Joshua was tempted to snap at Chalk, but pressed his lips together. He wondered if he heard a hint of jealousy in Chalk's normally dry tone. Which, I liked that, Chalk might be a little jealous. Joshua's looking at another horse. I don't think Chalk would like that. But I also thought it was interesting, too, was it was not unreasonable for Chalk not to understand the significance of what they watched. Chalk is he's a mystical creature for all intents and purposes, right?
Yeah.
So would he understand the significance of what they watched?
Well,
maybe.
Chalk doesn't really know what he is, though. Chalk thinks he's a construct.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Spoilers.
He's basically a golem, right? A spirit possessed golem.
Yeah. From what I understand about Chalk thus far, I would say yeah. I think that'd be a good way to describe him. I did like the history that goes into this at the bottom of page 51. The disappearance of the elves was an event lost to time and remembered as legends. Would that be singular legend or legends?
I would say legends, because now then I go on to list a bunch of the theories people have.
All right. Works for me. Let's see. Disease wiped them out, made them infertile. One by one, even the long-lived began to die. Tired of human wars, they left the old continent for a new world and took the horses with them. Another theory was humankind's war on the environment with their machines and the dwarf-like way they dug into the earth. But the elven retreat had started long before man began to turn to machines. So this would be, so they would have started their exodus like pre-industrial revolution.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were more just sick of the wars when they started their exodus, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
Just theories.
Right. Yeah, I also wonder, even though humans hadn't completely turned to machines yet, but I mean, I imagine there was probably a level of pollutants to the land before the machines that would also kind of like add to maybe this disease or this thing that wiped them out or started to wipe them out.
Yeah, that was just a theory too. That wasn't an actual statement of fact.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm just going on what information I have.
Maybe I need to word that differently, break these out more. So it's because like each one of these sentences is a different theory.
Okay. Okay.
And they're just theories.
Okay. Okay. I was kind of thinking it was just kind of like a rolling theory, like they were all connected, but I guess, yeah, they're all separate. Okay.
What is this word?
Apocryphal.
Explain it to me.
I kind of went with prophecy. Apocryphal basically is just like, you know, the hinting of or the promise of a apocalypse.
Ooh.
like a prophecy that's apocalyptic.
All right, that's some fancy shit right there. I like that.
I know, right? Woohoo! Good job. Thank you.
I might have to work that in the store somewhere.
I think you should. It would be great. Because I could point to it and go, I contributed that word. Let's see here. Then there were darker theories. The elves hid themselves and sent agents into the world to scout and prepare for the return, when they would destroy humankind and enslave them as punishment for their sins. I like it. I almost wonder if this could hint at the existence of the dark elves later in the story.
It could.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm stabbing in the dark, like dark elves might. They were stabbing somebody in the dark. Not necessarily that they stab people in the dark, but if one of them happened to be in a place where you had to stab somebody in the dark, yeah, that's what I'm doing. And then we get even further into some darker shit here. The slavery of the orcs. I guess what just makes it even worse is that it mirrors the dark history of our world as well. It's like, you know, stop me if you've heard this one before, but these are your words, not mine. New and cheap labor was needed to establish humankind's presence on the newly discovered continent. Orcs were the ancient guardians of the elves, elite warriors and keepers of their kingdom. No one had felt the abandonment of the elves more than the orcs. They scattered into tribes. Many had forgotten the old ways, and so they had become vulnerable. The humans invaded their territories and took the young and the strong and shipped them across the water. There were a few orcs who had formed orders to remember the old ways, but they were too few to defend the scattered tribes who had become suspicious of anyone outside their own families. They fought with each other as much as they did the humans. Yeah, man, there's just like some straight up like hints at triangle trade going on, man, even in this world. It's kind of sad, really. But yeah, definitely, yikes. Again, poor orcs, man. Wow, it got really quiet.
Yeah, I got nothing to say.
Fair enough.
Following workshop rules.
Ah, gotcha. Fair enough. Since when do we do that on this?
No, we don't.
Damn right we don't. at least not on this anyway. Because, I mean, our format, we kind of need to go back and forth.
Yeah. It's just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Writing stuff.
And talking about it together.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's a hit song, you're right, man.
I took all of our shit history and I wrapped it up into the orcs.
You did, and I think that was a good call. I mean, you know, if people don't want to learn it from the history books, they can at least learn it from some fiction, you know.
And it's going to set up the expanded version of Pitt later.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like Pitt, so definitely want to get. We definitely want to see more of him. Let's see here. So, okay. He wanted to get a closer look at the woman. Oh, yeah. Joshua wished he had a spyglass. He wanted to get a closer look at the woman and considered crawling back toward Chalk to get them. Now, is it a spyglass or binoculars?
It's a spyglass.
Yeah. Them took me out with a spyglass.
It's better.
Yeah. I mean, them, I don't know. It kind of, it makes me think of binoculars.
He's got two spyglasses and he's holding them both up.
Yes. Yes. Do that. It has to happen. And I liked this here. As if she was aware of this thought, the woman stood and made her way toward the door. Yeah. So it was like, even if he did go back and get his spyglass, it was like she would have been gone anyway. See page 53. Not much until about halfway down the page. We get this glimpse of a mounted rider in the shadows, which I believe in the earlier draft, Joshua sees this rider, but it happens in a different setting and also later in the book.
Yes.
So this is much earlier. And I think it's really interesting that the rider is watching what and where Joshua was watching. I mean, because this is him and Chalk heading back towards Silvertip. And it was and it's twilight. So, I mean, the sun's low. It's kind of getting dark in the trees, but how close would you say this rider is to Johnston's farm at this point with them heading back towards Silvertip?
Pretty close. She's just down there across the way. I would say really close.
Okay, cool. Cause that's the feeling I got. So yeah, cool. Chalk doesn't see it. When Joshua asked him if he saw anything, and he's like, no. So yeah, then it's like, you know, Joshua kind of has that, he starts getting that Puritan fear of the woods. Not really though. Uh-huh. but he does get goosebumps, which dude, I'd probably get goosebumps too. So yeah, then they head back to Silvertip. So I'm assuming like section 12 will either be Silvertip, something with the Cranstons, or even Avis?
No, yeah, you just named everybody in the book.
I know.
So it's going to be one of those things.
Hey, you know, you throw enough darts, you're going to hit something.
this is where I'm going to bring in, because I actually haven't spent a lot of time with Avis in this book so far. Yeah, I'm going to cut back to Avis and just give a brief what happened in the evening. You know, basically after Joshua left, and she goes out the bar. She goes out the barn, sleep in the barn. Charles is like, oh, no, you can stay in here. She's like, no, I'm not going to kick her out of her room. I'm basically your employee. I'll just go sleep in the barn. And then I pick up the next morning where with the whole scene where Elsa, you know, is watching her and, you know, helps her with the milk cow scene. And when they go riding to the meadow scene, all that stuff, I'm going to bring that in next.
Okay, cool. That sounds good. Sounds good. Now, one thing I'm wondering is Joshua is going to come back to the field to do a stakeout on that dagger at some point, you think?
Yeah.
No. He's just going to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to take those drawings to Fido.
Fido! I love Fido. So is the dagger going to be a MacGuffin?
I thought about having him take it and her going, well, where is it? I thought about actually the days that she was, you know, she slept that day off of Charles being curious and tracking where she came from and taking that dagger and having that dagger.
Okay. Okay.
Stored, you know, keeping it somewhere.
That could be interesting.
And I've thought about the writer going up there and getting that dagger.
Ooh, that could be interesting too.
And the writer's got the dagger. Or maybe she'll just ride back up there and the dagger will be where Joshua left it for.
Okay. Okay. I have
a couple days to decide.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So I look forward to seeing where that goes.
Actually, the idea of the writer getting that dagger just didn't come to me until just right this second when I was talking.
Right? Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but you know who the writer is, so.
I do.
And, you know, that was another thing, that conversation earlier was to kind of like set up, oh, hey, something's going on out there. I'm going to go out there and check it out too.
Right? Yeah, I mean, might as well, you know.
Everybody's checking it out.
Right? Going to go check it out. Going to go sort it out. You know, whatever you got to do. One thing I was wondering about was the paper and the pencil and Joshua's sketching proclivities. I was thinking about suggesting like turning the paper into like a sketchbook that could hold drawings from his previous exploits, but that was just something that I forgot to.
I think I saw that written there somewhere.
Yes, yeah, and I forgot to mention it earlier, so I just thought I'd bounce back real quick and just be like, "Oh, hey, I should let you know about this idea I had."
I think that's a great idea, and I've actually been mulling over ways to work that in.
If you could find an illustrator, you could do an illustrated version of this book at some point. Or if Joshua becomes as big as Indiana Jones,
oh my Lord,
you could actually have like a prop Grail diary. It wouldn't be of his father's sketchbook, but it would be his sketchbook, yeah. You know, because, you know, I don't think Joshua is a junior.
No.
No. Okay.
Junior.
Don't call me junior.
All right.
But yeah, no, it was just, me being silly, man.
Alrighty. Let's move on to Hollywood Dreams. All right. In Hollywood Dreams, we have left Silvermatic Studios, where Toom was trying to get a line on. Oh, your character's name is Elsa, too.
Yep.
So, Elsa, the dead girl, they're investigating her. They figured out that there's a sister, Nancy. They're still trying to find out what's up with this Nazi watch. They've gone to... Let's see, we already did that red part. So where are we? We're on page 46. They've found the girl's apartment, and it is totally trashed. Somebody is looking for something, and they call Abbott, and he's going to come down. All right, and so we start there. Abbott, they call Abbott, and they're waiting for him. So I'm squatting over some... Is that in there as a suggestion? It looks like... Okay. I just made a suggestion for the opening sentence to make it a little tighter, clearer. He's squatting over some papers in the garbage can when Abbott comes in, because that's one of the fun things cops get to do, go through the garbage.
Hell yeah.
I love... Abbott comes in hobbling. You should take some time off for that leg. Time off for commies and freeloaders.
McCarthyism!
Although I was wondering if during that day and age, would they let him be a cop if he came back from the war kind of that messed up that he needed a brace and a cane? Things were a little bit more dickish back in those days.
Too true, too true. Actually, I planned on kind of, I don't know. I had this idea in my head, and I don't think I wrote it down in this, but I kind of wanted, I was going to like paint this picture that like he basically had like some knee surgery to get like some more shrapnel removed.
Okay. So he's recovering from surgery.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. And he's a fucking death jock anyway.
True.
What does this mean here? Something, nothing. I'm working on this puzzle. I pick up. Should that be? I pick up the memo pad page or a memo pad page stained brown with coffee.
Yeah, a or the.
I'm gonna say a. Oh, and I'm not. I'm in editing mode, so I just went ahead and made that change for you. Sorry about that,
dude. No worries. It's all good.
I pick up a memo pad page stained brown with coffee grounds. Edgewater, 33, I think. Is that a number he sees on the page, or is he like saying what kind of weight that paper is? I was confused on what the 33, I think, means.
Oh, trying to read what's on the paper. I was trying to think of how to make that more clear, but I figured I'd just...
Oh, is that an address?
Probably.
Oh, so I would say, I would have him say, if you think it's an address, like if he thinks it's an address, I'd say, I think it might be an address on Edgewater, number 33, maybe, or 33 Edgewater, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, my idea was to make it the Edgewater Resort, room 33.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll play around with that.
You know, he could still think it's an address. Maybe he's... Is the Edgewater Resort super famous?
Yes. Yes. It's actually still there, too, but it's like new management, totally remodeled. It's high dollar place to stay.
Sure. Yeah, okay, then that would work. But maybe he still thinks it's an address. He can say maybe it's an address, Edgewater 33, I don't know.
Yeah, I can definitely make it more clear.
It just says Edgewater 33, I don't know. I think it needs like... Not a big, long explanation, but just maybe a couple more words.
All right, cool.
And the ink is, all right, let's drop down. Page 47. Two pipes. I think two pipes should be capitalized. Like the P, like even the beginning of the sentence.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's hyphenated, but because it's kind of his name. And then you had a comma there, which I don't think was necessary. And then there's some just parts throughout it where you use in the middle of a sentence and two pipes is lowercase, but I think it should be uppercase.
Okay. I will definitely get the fix on that.
So, yeah, Abbott finds out that on page 47, Abbott finds out they went to go talk to DeLuca, Elijah's old buddy he's had a falling out with and who's kind of a money launderer. Oh, there we go. There's two pipes. Two pipes. We get the explanation about why he's called Two Pipes when Monty says, why do you call him Two Pipes? And it's because he's got a pipe for his mistress and a pipe for his wife. Not for them, that he smokes around them.
Yep.
I think it's really funny. Mall, I thought this is funny, Monty calling them outdated for using the word mall. Was mall outdated even back then?
I'm not sure. I'm using some creative license here because mall goes back to like even like 20 slang. So I don't know if 40 slang, for now I'm running with it, but I'm going to see if I can kind of square that a little bit more, if that would be the case.
I wouldn't waste too much time on it. I mean, if it's been used in the 20s, you know, Monty's a young man. He does to say he doesn't think that's not cool anymore.
True.
All right. Page 48. Was that all I had on 47? Yeah, that was all I had, 47. Some lowercase two pipes and a question about the word mall. Mall, M-O-L-L, for those of you who can't see it. All right. Page 48. Abbott's checking out the photo. Man, in your previous version, when I said I didn't understand why they didn't have Abbott involved anymore, you've like done a total 360 and this guy is everywhere.
Right? Hey, might as well try him out, you know?
Yeah. All right. So they show Abbott the pictures. They're trying to read something that's on the back and he wants to know if anybody's identified the body yet. And Elijah tells him Edmonds hasn't said anything. Oh, and I like Monty. I'm going to comment that on this right now. I like that Monty comes up with the idea to use the press to their advantage and get the word out about this girl and see if the dead girl and see if the sister comes in to identify the body. I like that much better than the girl being in hiding and then randomly coming out to look at the body and nobody saying anything about it.
Cool. I'm glad you're liking that better.
All right. Page 49. We're back at Lou's. He bought a jukebox. It was kind of amusing. Trying to liven up the place a little bit. Got a couple dudes who like to fight over it. I'd never heard a jukebox called a Nickelodeon before, so I thought that was interesting. I'm learning all kinds of words today. Just highlighted a couple in the middle of the page, a couple of places where you got pulls and pulling close together.
Ah, yeah, I see. I see what you're saying there.
And near the bottom of the page. Okay. I commented this on the bottom of the page, but I think it can go for like the whole bottom half of this page. It just feels like a lot of extraneous info in these paragraphs. Because like one of the things that you're trying to get away from is like the eyes and the too much information. And I think you're falling into the, and I usually only see you do this with first person, is there's too much telling what's going on. I feel like I'm a blind guy and you're just telling me what's happening in the movie.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, he's lifting his glass now. He's taking a drink now. Pulling out a cigarette now. Doing this now. I think this last page has a lot of that.
That's fair. That's fair. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay to let the readers do some of the work. And just a change to two pipes, all caps. So I guess I missed those earlier ones, my first read through.
Shame!
The king of not seeing edits.
Not seeing edits.
Page 50. Man, this was a short submission this time, man. I want 20 pages next week. All right.
I'll see what I can do.
Or 15 would be okay. Maybe not.
I'll get as close to 20 as possible.
Maybe not 20. All right.
All right.
Page 50. Did I? I don't think I said anything on page 50. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't have much to say this time. This is all right. So this is where page 50, they bring up to Lou that Elijah talked to Danny. And he's like, hey, what's up with that? And they found out the Jane Doe is, man, Monty's giving Lou a lot of information. I can see Elijah giving Lou a lot of information. Monty's just chatty. Of course, he's drinking.
yeah, somebody's got to be the chatty Kathy, you know?
Yeah. All right. So this is just them talking about Lou, about DeLuca. And they're just discussing what their next move is going to be. And page 51's only got a couple lines on it. And I don't think I said anything there. All right. So that's it. I like the meat that you're starting to put on the bones of this story and all the gaps that you're filling in. I think that's working well so far. I'm still contemplating how I feel about the Anna's questionable parentage thing.
Oh yeah. I haven't decided on that yet. What I want to do with that yet.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I like it. Because interesting, when I go back and I, you know, go through the recordings and try to clean them up a little bit, I kind of get like other, and it allows me to think about things more because I'm listening to it all again.
I totally get that, yeah.
And I'm kind of like, and I was just kind of like, hey, last time when I was listening to that last one, I was like, oh man, I don't know if I'm loving this Anna thing. It just takes away from the what her purpose in the story was in the first place.
True, you know true, what I mean? And it kind of complicates. Complicates things a little bit more, too.
It's kind of a cool thing. I mean, I am certainly a believer in turning the screws up on some people. But then on the other hand, that was supposed to be like represent the downtimes of the story. And you've already got a fairly complex. I mean, even without the spear, the story is pretty complex. It's not a straightforward traditional noir. You got some, you know, some things going on here.
For sure, for sure. And that's kind of, I really wanted to kind of try to get out of doing a straight noir. So I kind of wanted to be a little more complex than than what they usually are, at least the ones that I've read anyway.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm still haven't decided exactly what I want to do with Vivian either. It's like I had a suggestion to actually make her the owner of Silvermatic Studios and like have Danny working for her. But have her and Tomb divorced.
Yeah, I like her dad.
Yeah, I mean it's one less character I have to write, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean she needs to be present in other ways.
Yeah, and that's where I'm kind of trying to like I guess Lou and Tomb kind of have the reminiscing moments, and that's kind of I feel where Vivian's going to exist.
All right. Any other thoughts or feelings before we wrap this bad boy up?
No, I think I'm good. Yeah, I think I'm good. I'll definitely try to get 20 pages for next time, though.
All right, sweet. Yeah, I think things are moving along pretty nicely. If you're out there listening, thanks for joining us. You can also check out our Patreon if you could, patreon.com/Pacific Novel Project. We got some other things going on besides this, and I'm not going to go through the whole list right now. Ruin the surprise for you. Just go check it out. If you got any questions, comments, you know, you don't have to be a patron to listen. And we want feedback. We want feedback from fellow writers and ideas and just discuss about writing stuff. We're on Facebook. We got a public Facebook page, which is Pacific Novel Project, facebook.com/Pacific Novel Project. And from there, you can go to our Facebook group, but that is only for patrons. So you won't see anything there, but you'll see stuff on our page.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not Alice Cooper, but you know, you should still come hang out with us. So yeah.
Cooper. Would I want to hang out with Alice Cooper?
I would.
Yeah, maybe I would. He's an interesting guy. I like interesting people.
He really is. And, you know, I don't know. He just seems like he would have a lot of cool stuff to talk about.
I thought that was going to be like a reference. I think one of his songs was going to be tied into what I was talking about somehow, but I can't think of any of the songs. Alice Cooper is just the guy you decide to chill with.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was one of the few people in my life that let me know that Milwaukee was one of the only cities to elect 3 socialist mayors.
Okay.
You know, little Wayne's World action, you know?
Yeah. Wayne's World. Okay. Yeah, I got that reference.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, we're old. Wayne's World is old now. Did you know that?
It is. But you know what? I mean, if you can't enjoy Wayne's World later, well, you probably couldn't enjoy it in the first place. So.
All right. Thanks for listening. Coming up, we will have our Bring Your Own Book podcast that is also for patrons, and where we talk about books every month. And this month, what are we talking about? This a feed. We're talking about Feed this month by M.T. Anderson, which
yes.
is a pretty freaking interesting book. I'm digging it. I have mixed feelings about it, but overall, I'm digging it.
And it's very apocryphal.
Yeah, it is apocryphal. Totally.
And we're full circle.
And on that note, we're out. Good night.
We're out. Good night.